Sports Weekend All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. World Cup champion France has climbed to number one in rankings released Thursday by FIFA, World Football's governing body. The French moved up six places from June when, after a lengthy period of testing, the FIFA Council approved a new ranking formula. According to FIFA, and I quote, "It relies on adding or subtracting points won or lost for a game to or from the previous points total, rather than averaging game points over a given time period in the previous version of the ranking." Now, after reading that statement, I feel like I'm back in Mr. McFeely's high school math class at Trape Academy trying to figure that out, sports fans. So let's just get back to the August FIFA rankings. Belgium is ranked second overall, followed by Brazil, Croatia, Uruguay, and England. Rounding out the top 10 teams, according to FIFA, we have Portugal, Switzerland, Spain, and Denmark. Now, the Spaniards and the Danes each have 1,580 ranking points, so they're tied for ninth place. The Carthage Eagles of Tunisia and the Lions of Teranga of Senegal each have 1,498 ranking points, and they're tied for number one in Africa and 24th overall. The Democratic Republic of Congo is at 37th overall, followed by Ghana at 45, Morocco at 46, and Cameroon at 47. Rounding out the top 10 African teams, Nigeria is at 49, Burkina Faso is at 52, Mali is at 63, and the Cape Verde Islands, they're at 64. The Pharaohs of Egypt dropped out of the top 10 African teams, and they're now at 65 overall. The Egyptians had a disappointing World Cup in Russia, where they lost all three of their matches, and that certainly didn't help their ranking. Egypt had both the biggest drop by points, down 77 points, and the biggest drop by ranks, down 20 places, from the June FIFA rankings. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Reporter Prince Nesta will have more football stories a little later in the show, but first, some African boxing news. Ghana's Isaac Dogbe will defend his WBO Super Bantamweight title next week against a Japanese opponent. Our friend in Accra, Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori, has this preview for us.
Ghanaian professional boxer Isaac Dogbe will defend his title against Hidenori Otake of Japan. The WBO Super Bantamweight champion, who defeated Jesse Madaleno last April with an 11-round stoppage, is set for his next fight August 25th in Arizona, USA. After beating Madaleno, Team Dogbe, headed by Paul Dogbe, father and coach of Isaac, immediately started a training program in a forest in Ghana's Volta region suitable for military exercise. And after intensive 3 months hard training, they left for USA a couple of weeks ago and pitch camp in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, to finalize preparation.
We're just putting in the finishing touches. I'm so grateful, you know, to Bob Arum and Top Rank. Giving this opportunity once again to showcase my talent live on ESPN. It's going to be in Arizona, Glendale. It's going to be fireworks. It's time to shake up the division, to take all those dead weeds out and re-strategize the division. Royal Storm, as you all know, will now come with the heat, throwing lightning and thunder.
In a chat with Isaac from Harrisburg Gym, he said all is well and he is ready for his coming fight.
Throwing punches from all angles, but we are ready. Good source him out. We've seen the things that he does right and the things that he doesn't. So we're ready to play on his weaknesses and his strengths. So August 25th, we're looking forward to knocking him out and then moving on.
The Ghanaian defeated Cesar Juarez in January this year and Jesse Madaleno last April, all by knockout. For the Sunnyside Sports, Kwabena Ofori reporting.
Thanks, Kwabena. Undefeated Isaac Dogbe will be bidding for his 20th consecutive victory when he fights Hidenori Otake in the western U.S. city of Phoenix, Arizona. The 23-year-old Dogbe will have youth on his side when he trades punches with the 37-year-old Otake. But Dogbe knows Otake will not be an easy opponent. The Japanese fighter has won his last 9 bouts, 5 by knockout, and he has an overall record of 36 wins and 3 losses. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to athletics, the IAAF Diamond League circuit will stop Saturday in Birmingham, England. Birmingham is the 12th stop on the 14-city Diamond League calendar for 2018. The Diamond League meets, featuring some of the world's top athletes, will wrap up at the end of August in Zurich and Brussels on August 30th and August 31st, respectively. Meanwhile, Birmingham is also where this year's IAAF World Indoor Championships were held in early March. Among many impressive performances in Birmingham, none shone more than the double gold of Ethiopia's Genzebe Dibaba. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2018, the energetic Andy Edwards looks back on her achievement, as well as other standout performances in Birmingham.
Genzebe Dibaba was as dominant in winning the 1500 meters on Friday as she had been in taking the 3000 the day before. The Ethiopian now has 5 world indoor titles, and only a certain Maria Mutola of Mozambique has more, with her tally of 7. Dibaba is already the outdoor world record holder for 1500, and, straight after celebrating her indoor double, set out her aim for an attack on the 5,000-metre mark, held by her sister, Tirunesh.
My plan is in 5,000. Maybe I try world record, yes.
The African success wasn't confined to the longer distances. Muriel Ahure led the way in the greatest ever performance for Ivory Coast sprinters as she won the 60 metres with her compatriot Marie-José Talou second.
I wasn't surprised. I mean, I ran the times in practice, but I was just so happy that I was able to put 3 perfect races together and then finally do it here, because it only counts if the world sees it, not when you're running, you know, like in a... you know, in the indoor gymnasium in Houston, Texas. So I'm just so excited to be able to have done it.
The men's 60 was won in dramatic style by the USA's Christian Coleman. Having broken the world record last month, Coleman produced the second fastest time ever with 6.37. His performance at the 100 outdoors will generate big media attention. The field events offered high quality throughout, and South Africa's Luvo Manyonga, the world outdoor champion, looked to be heading for victory when he cleared 8.44 in round 3. But Spain's Juan Miguel Echevarria denied him, leaving Manyonga with the silver and looking forward to the outdoor season.
At the competition, we never know until the competition is finished, which is the best, you know, but I'm quite happy with the performance, you know. I was looking forward to get a gold medal, but it didn't come. But I'm quite excited about the outdoor. There will be flames.
Form guides don't always prove accurate, and Will Clay of the USA had been struggling for the past few months. The Olympic and World Triple Jump silver medalist only scraped into the US team for these championships, but everything came good with 17.43 for the gold medal.
This year has been rough. You know, I've only been able to jump once at practice since October. And then I jumped at U.S. Nationals and then now here. So, you know, it's still knocking off the rust. You know, I'm still a little rusty with my technique and my form, but thank God I was able to still come out with a gold medal.
The USA team consistently reaps a rich harvest of medals at these championships, and Birmingham was no exception, with the world outdoor record holder Kenny Harrison winning the women's high hurdles and Courtney Okolo taking the women's 400 among their honours. But teammate AJ Wilson had to settle for silver, as Burundi's Francine Niyonsaba won their duel in the 800 metres, as she did 2 years ago.
Today it was not easy, but I did everything I have to do. So I'm so happy. I won a medal, and it is my medal and my country. I'm so happy to defend my title.
Sunday's closing session continued to produce numerous high-quality performances, including an epic men's pole vault, where Renaud Lavillenie of France retained the title, beating the USA's outdoor world champion Sam Kendricks. And there was another silver for the USA, as Britain's Andrew Pozzi beat Jarrett Eaton in the 60-metre hurdles. After a succession of injuries, the Briton won his first global title.
You know, I always believed I could win global medals and win global titles, and to have it reinforced tonight is just incredible.
Just to show that racing certainties can be anything but that, the championships close with the Polish men overhauling the USA on the last leg of the 4x400m relay, breaking the world record held by the Americans into the bargain. The Polish squad looked as shocked as anyone in the arena. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards at the World Indoor Athletics Championships in Birmingham.
Thanks, Andy. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to table tennis, Nigeria's commercial capital, Lagos, was the venue for a recent big international tournament. Aruna Quadri became the first Nigerian player to win the men's singles event at the International Table Tennis Federation Nigeria Open Tournament. The competition has improved its standards since its debut 6 years ago. So says Wahid Enitan Ashodi, the chairman of the local organizing committee for the 2018 Nigeria Open Tournament. In an interview with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye, Wahid talked about the progress the Nigeria Open has made.
I wish you could see pictures of this hall the first time we hosted it. We've come a long, long way. A lot of people have worked very hard over the last 5-6 years to get this tournament to this level. Now, we're very confident that we can match any major tournament in the world. But, of course, there's still a lot of work to do. The sponsors have come on board, and we're very thankful to them, very proud. But most importantly, the success of this thing has been the media. The publicity we've received, the media continues to back this event, popularize everything we do. And luckily, it's translated to a time of growth for us. Aruna Quadri, Gideon Motayo, all doing well, and that's why we've got this. But I think there's still a lot of work we can still do.
I understand that this is the first time a Nigerian is winning it on home soil. What's your take on it?
Well, you know, Aruna Quadri is a player we've worked with for a long, long time. He's carried the banner for Nigeria in the last 3-4 years, and for him to win an ITTF Challenge Open anywhere in the world is a major, major thing in table tennis. But to do it in front of your adoring fans, and the way he did it, coming from behind, working hard, really, really great victory. And we're very, very proud of what has happened here today.
What about future events, future tournaments? How prepared is Nigeria?
We have to work with the ITTF. We're looking at, we have a national tournament, just finished the National Junior League. The National Championships comes up in a couple of months. But, you know, for you to succeed, we need more regular tournaments, even at regional level, African level, and hopefully we can do that. The governor has shown his commitment here in Lagos. We hope other governors will come on board. Football is not the only sport in the world, and this hall today has told the story. Fantastic fans, filled to capacity, and they've had a great day. And, you know, like I told the governor, on a day when Arsenal is playing Man City, to have a full crowd like this, we're proud of what these youngsters have put out for us.
Any future for table tennis in Nigeria?
For me, after seeing the National Junior League this year again, I think we have the best crop of young male players, probably to match anybody in the world outside China and Japan. But the truth is, our females still have a lot of work to do for a lot of this. For, I think I would say, cultural reasons, we don't get enough girls playing, and we also need to do a lot more scouting them at a younger age. But the future is bright if we can find the funding to harness these talents, bring in better coaching, get them out to the world tournaments, and we have the talent. It's now to find the money to develop that talent.
That's Wahid Enitan Ashodi, the chairman of the local organizing committee for the recent International Table Tennis Federation Nigeria Open Tournament. And he spoke with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. More African football news now. One of Nigeria's best-known players, Chelsea man Victor Moses, has announced his retirement from international football at the age of 27. For reaction, let's turn once again to Iron Mike Mbonye. Iron Mike picked up the telephone and called Gothenburg, Sweden, where he reached a former member of Nigeria's national team, Peter Ije.
It comes to me as a surprise, and the most Nigerians and also the sport-loving fans for him to just announce his retirement. So I believe there is more to it than just retiring from international football. So I think the NFF have to look into it and see what is the problem for his retirement so far.
What do you think the NFF should do in this regard if you believe that he didn't just retire like that?
Well, we've been clamoring for structure. People still misunderstand what structure is. You know, structure is not all about the playing football. It also involves the organizational structure of players. If you can see in Europe, for example, player playing for the national team, they are more to rate. But in Nigeria, it's just like pay as you go, which is not good for the future generation. So there should be an overhaul structure in the whole system so that player that is playing at the end of their playing career can lean back on sports as a career or as not as a hobby, but as a career build up from there. But so far, Nigeria, not only Nigeria, African structure of player representing their country, just play as you go. After the player has played and finished his career, and that is it. There should be structure in that area.
You've called for restructuring. When you played for Nigeria, what was the situation like when you said played for Nigeria?
It's the same situation. It's pay as you go. They invite you, you pay your ticket, you get the reimbursement, and that is it. And sometimes you don't even get. It's player that most players that are influential or that have this agent, that agent, you know, get the reimbursement. And the players are just left on their own to find that missing link. So it's still the same issue. But for African football, for Nigerian football to move where they are to where they ought to be, there has to be profile players that have played for the country, players in there should be a benefit, not pay as you go system killing.
Do you think Nigeria is blessed with some other players that can take the place of Victor Moses in the national team?
At 27, playing for Chelsea, you know, I don't think it's like saying Nigeria will rediscover another culture. That will take another decade. Because the player like Moses has various quality. As I play from the flank, I can also play in different formations. But with Nigerian system of play, yeah, I mean, it's really, really hard to tell which system Nigeria is playing at the moment. Is it 3-5-2 or what? But when we talk about the players that we have now, how many are playing top league in Europe? None. Except for Victor playing for Chelsea. Which other Nigerian player is playing in the Premier League? That is well known. It will take maybe another decade or another 20 years for us to see this type of a player.
That's Peter Ije, former striker for the Super Eagles of Nigeria. Peter is now the head coach of a lower division football club in Sweden, and he spoke by telephone with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye from Gothenburg, Sweden. For more on the international retirement of Chelsea player Victor Moses, as well as other football news, we're joined by reporter Prince Nesta. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Here are some quick facts that I thought you should know about Victor Moses ahead of his retirement. The Chelsea winger made 37 appearances for the Super Eagles, scoring 12 times since making his debut in 2012. He had previously represented England up to under-21 level while coming through the ranks at Crystal Palace. Moses was instrumental to Super Eagles' conquering of Africa in 2013 and represented Nigeria in the 2014 and 2018 World Cups. Moses said, and I quote, I've experienced some of the best moments of my life wearing the Super Eagle shirt and have memories with me that will last a lifetime. However, I feel that now is the right time to step away in order to be able to focus fully on my club career and young family, as well as allow the next generation the opportunity to step up and to flourish. The 27-year-old has also previously played for Stoke City, West Ham and Liverpool.
Prince, what do you personally think about his retirement?
Sonny, if you ask me, I'm quite surprised that he has retired at such a young age. This is a player who can still feature in the next two World Cup games, you know, for Nigeria. Nigeria is a very big name in international football, and his name still needs to be on the team sheet every time Nigeria plays. Clubs can sell people at the right moment, you know how. The willing and dealings, especially during the transfer season. And of course, once Chelsea gets the opportunity, they're going to sell him. But one thing I know Nigeria can't do is sell their own player. He should remain patriotic enough and, you know, stick to Nigeria. And I think it's not a very wise decision. He should rescind it because I'm sure Nigeria still loves him. And we still need him as far as African football is concerned.
I know a lot of Super Eagles fans are hoping Victor Moses comes back into the fold.
Absolutely. Well, sticking with the English Premier League, Manchester City fear Kevin De Bruyne could be sidelined for up to 3 months after the midfielder sustained a knee injury in training. The Belgium international was immediately sent for tests on suspected ligament damage, but later appeared with his teammates on crutches and with his right knee heavily strapped. The 27-year-old midfielder was City's player of the season last term, scoring 12 goals and providing 21 assists as his side won the Premier League and English Football League Cup. He's set to miss City's next match against Huddersfield at home on Sunday. Arsenal have also confirmed that they expect to be without youngster Ainsley Maitland-Niles until October because of his injury. The 20-year-old suffered a minor leg break, which was sustained during the first half of last weekend's 2-0 Premier League defeat at the hands of Manchester City, forcing him to limp off.
Prince, still with the football, I understand history was made yesterday as Atletico Madrid became the first Europa League winners to go on to lift the UEFA Super Cup, since they also did so against Chelsea in 2012.
Sonny, you're reading my script again.
Prince, I'm reading your script. I love it.
Well, just as I'd predicted yesterday, Real Madrid began life without Cristiano Ronaldo and Zinedine Zidane with a defeat in the first ever UEFA Super Cup derby as Atletico scored twice in extra time.
Prince, I remember your successful prediction. It seems like you were not the only one who was confident about an Atletico win before the match, as these Atletico fans in Estonia said they also were confident their team would win.
We have a very good team, and with the new players, we have the better team of the in Atletico Madrid history, probably. And I think that we can win today, and we can start very good the course, the last, yes.
I saw the last game in Saturday in Madrid, and it was really have very good feelings about the new players, and I think that at the end we are going to be the winners. It's that we have in my heart. We've lost two times. I've been there the two times. I've been in Milan and I've been in Lisbon, and this is the time that I think they're going to be the winner, and I'm really proud of my Atletico Madrid.
I'll stop blowing my horn then. But I have a strong feeling those fans listened to our show yesterday.
I think they did.
Well, back-to-back Champions League winners Real was seeking to become the first side to win three Super Cups in successive seasons. But Diego Costa had other plans. The Spain international scored twice in normal time, thumping in the opener after 49 seconds and tapping in another after the interval. Two excellent strikes from Koke and Sol sealed victory for Atletico after the game ended 2-2. In normal time, with Madrid finding the net through Karim Benzema and Sergio Ramos.
Thank you, Prince. Reporter Prince Nesta. And that wraps up the August 16th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Mr. Chang. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
U.S. Secretary of Commerce Wilbur Ross and a delegation from the President's Advisory Council on Doing Business in Africa announced over $1 billion in private sector deals during their recent mission to four sub-Saharan African nations. The Advisory Council members expect to quickly conclude more than $2 billion in additional deals in the coming days. The four-nation visit, which included stops in Ethiopia, Kenya, and Cote d'Ivoire, concluded in Ghana, where Secretary Ross signed a memorandum of understanding with the Minister of Finance to deepen the commercial partnership between the two nations. On previous stops, Undersecretary of Commerce Gilbert Kaplan signed a cooperative agreement with the Ethiopian and Kenyan governments. In Ghana, Secretary Ross led the U.S. delegation in meetings with President Nana Akufo-Addo, Vice President Mahmoudou Bawumia, Minister of Trade Alan Karamatin, Minister of Energy Boaki Agyarko, and Minister of Finance Ken Ofori-Atta. Undersecretary Kaplan led the delegation in Ethiopia, Kenya, and Cote d'Ivoire, meeting with heads of state and senior government officials, including Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta, President Alassane Ouattara, and Prime Minister Amadou Gon Coulibaly of Cote d'Ivoire, and Ethiopian Minister of Finance Abraham Tekesti. The delegation also met with business leaders and U.S. companies already doing business in those markets. The delegation also met with officials at the African Development Bank to better understand how and where the bank is providing financing throughout the continent. This financing is a key tool for U.S. companies as they seek procurement contracts. Cooperation agreements signed during the trip with Ethiopia, Kenya, and Ghana identify priority projects in key sectors to help achieve long-term growth and development. The cooperation agreements also establish a forum for the governments to address and resolve business climate challenges that limit participation by U.S. companies seeking to invest or do business in the three countries. The United States is making real progress in Africa, and we remain a strong, long-term, and stable partner in the continent's economic development, said Secretary Ross. We are finding solutions to transition aid-based economies to trade-based economies by creating new pathways for mutually beneficial long-term partnerships.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. VOA. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minutes newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
VOA News.
When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.